morning and welcome. Look outside. It doesn't get much prettier than this on a March 30th. But glad you could join us today, whether you're here or online. We hope you experience the presence of Jesus as we worship today. And throughout the Lenten season, a few announcements before we get started. We'd like to thank everybody who came Wednesday night for the Lenten supper, especially those who cooked, set up, helped clean up. The sign-up sheet for this coming Wednesday is in Holman Hall, so hopefully you'll join us again for the one this Wednesday. And we also have one the following Wednesday. We're still collecting our March items, and Carol told me this morning we're at the end of the month, but we're only halfway on the March items. So don't just flip the calendar and say, well, they're done, because they're not. We need about as much as we already have of those. Except washcloths. Soap and washcloths. Great. Okay. But also look for the items that we need in April and be ready to do your due diligence on that. Please join us on Saturday, April 12th. We've got a cleanup both inside and out. We're preparing for Easter, and we'd like to beautify the church both inside and out. Donuts will be provided, so a little tease there to encourage attendance. As most of you know, Tracy Pickett passed away earlier this month, and they're having her service online. It's going to be live streamed starting about 11 or 12:40 airtime. They're in Colorado, so they're 2 hours ahead. Alan said he was going to run a slideshow of family events prior to the service. I will try to get the link posted to get Alexa to put that out, so if you're not able to come but want to see it, you're still able. Let's see. Please join us in Holman Hall. What's we got?
What day is it?
It's going to be Saturday, the 5th of April. Here in Holman Hall. And I can't promise donuts. I don't know. You have to wing it on the food for that. But I think it will be good to gather as a group to celebrate the life of Tracy and what they did to it. Hell, what they meant for us here, you know, while they were here. All right, as always, Holman Hall, it's always some kind of surprise back there. But we've got a lot of new people in this church that have just started coming. Good chance to get to know them and let them get to know you. So take a few minutes. Come back and just fellowship. It's a great time. Any other announcements? Okay. Rest your heart and your mind as Marcus brings a prelude. please stand as we are called to worship? Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord of life is lifted up.
Let us look to Christ and live.
Our opening hymn is Just As I Am, 442.
Has called us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The call to confession. The journey of life inevitably leads to wilderness, times marked by guilt, frustration, and the sense that we are not in the right place. But even in the wilderness, God is with us. Even in the wilderness, God's mercy is sure. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Merciful God, your pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not Spirit from us. Restore to us the journey of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit, all for Christ's sake.
Is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us turn once again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in various times and places and through various means, you revealed yourself to your people through prophets and apostles, through priests and kings, and most fully in Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. And so, Lord, as we come to hear Christ's word spoken to us and to receive your gospel proclaimed, illumine the darkness of our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes so that we may see, open our ears so that we may hear, and open us so that we may receive what you have to say to us today. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter the 15th chapter, starting in the first verse to the third and picking up again at the 11th. Listen now to God's word. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me." So the father divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then the older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But the son answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the word of the Lord. The reformer Martin Luther was known as the firebrand of the Protestant Reformation. In his heyday, he could call out anyone who threatened the truth of Scripture, from popes to kings to peasants, all with great zeal for the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone. He was even said to have gone toe to toe with the devil himself. He was a man empowered by a great love of God and a dedication to the Bible. But this was not always the case. Early on, Martin Luther had to wrestle with God. And he did this for a long time before he became the reformer that we know today. As a young man, Martin had joined a monastery with hopes of a greater education and a deeper spiritual life. And by all accounts, he lived as the exemplary monk, devoted to study and long hours of prayer, pilgrimages, and frequent confession. For his time, you would have looked at him and said, he is a devout and zealous Christian. But under the surface, it was a little bit of a different story. You see, young Martin had a great burden. He read in the scriptures that his God was the righteous God who was displeased with the unrighteous. So then when he looked at himself, all he could see was his unrighteousness, the way that he had not lived up to God's standard. And so he did as he was taught at that time, to turn his whole being to try to endeavor to become right before God. He prayed for long hours. He went to confession at every available opportunity. They even tell stories where he would leave the confessional and turn right back around because he thought of another sin that he hadn't confessed. He ran himself ragged, trying to make himself right so that he would not face judgment. But all the way along, even as he showed great outward piety, Martin despised the God he was trying to appease. Reflecting back, he wrote, "I did not love, yes, I hated the righteous God who punishes sinners. And secretly, if not blasphemously, certainly murmuring greatly, I was angry with God." From the outside, he did all the right things. And yet his conscience never let him rest, never sure that he was accepted by God. Now maybe you have felt this way at some point in your life. Maybe you're feeling it this day. The good news for us is that Christ addresses these issues of conscience this morning in our gospel reading. Backing up a little, Luke chapter 15 contains a series of three parables which Jesus presents in response to the disdain of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus was eating at table with tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, and even centurions, Roman soldiers. It's a big no-no. And so he tells this parable as the scribes deride him. These are some of the most well-known in all the Gospels. Each of the parables concerns something that has been lost and is later found. There is a lost sheep who is found by the shepherd who left the 99. A lost coin that is found by a woman who sweeps her entire house to find it. And finally, in our reading today, what we know as the parable of the prodigal son. These are images of God's relation to those whom we would consider lost. And so many over the years have described these three parables as the gospel in miniature. The gospel in miniature, giving us a concrete window into the saving love of God. The third parable, which we know as the prodigal son, is the most unique of the three. Takes a little bit of a different turn. It surprises us with who is really lost. And it shows us what it really means to be found. So the story begins with the younger son. For our purposes, we will label him the bad son. The younger son came to his father and asked for his portion of the inheritance early. In first century terms, he basically said to his father, "I wish you were dead." And surprisingly, the father agrees, splits up his inheritance, and gives it. And not much later, this son takes all that he owns and goes to a far-off country. There he squanders his inheritance and comes to dire straits as a famine enters the land. Eventually, while he's tending some guy's pigs, the younger son comes to his senses. And he thinks, "I can return to my father. And though I have scorned him, at least I could be a slave in his house." So he goes. And in another surprising act, the father does not bring him on as a slave, but embraces him and throws him the largest party in family history, accepting him not as a slave, but as a true son. Now, this is a compelling story. As the father said, the lost is found, the dead is alive again. It's a dramatic turn. We love this kind of story. We love the redemption story. I mean, we love it so much that it's become a storytelling trope, right, in our culture. I recently watched the movie Forrest Gump. Oh, some of you have watched it too. As I've reflected on the film in recent days, I realized that the reason that this film has held up, that we love it as a classic movie, is not necessarily the adventure or the romance, though those are important. But we really love it and we cherish it as a film because of the redemption stories that take place throughout the film. I'm thinking specifically of Lieutenant Dan and Jenny. Both, through various circumstances, fell into lives of disrepute. They were lost. But through the care of another, namely Forrest, their lives turned around and they lived as those accepted and loved. Alongside the younger son in our parable, you can clearly see how they were lost, how they fell. And then you can see how they turned and were found. This is a picture of the gospel. That the lost would be found by Christ. That all who wander away are never lost forever, but can find the unyielding love of God to bring them home. But this is not the only gospel picture. You see, it's easy to see our need for redemption, or the need for redemption in others, when lives are falling apart. But what about when the life looks good? When everything is going okay? This is where Jesus' parable takes a surprise turn in part two. Enter the older son. Now, I'm telling you this story as an older son, so I identify a lot with this character. Enter the older son. For our purposes, we'll label him the good son. He did not ask for his inheritance. He did not run off to a far country. Instead, the older stayed and worked for his father for many years. He was the model child, taking care of things for dad. He checked off every box on the list of how to be the good son. Yet when his younger brother returns home and is celebrated, the older becomes furious and refuses to go in to the feast. When the father comes to plead with him to go in, he responds and he says, "Listen, For all these years, I've been working for you like a slave. I've never disobeyed a command, yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." He was jealous that the younger bad son got the fattened calf while he seemingly got nothing. Now we know this isn't the case because the father said, "All that is mine is yours." But what the older son shows us here is really the true content of his heart. He did not love the father, nor was he any better than the younger son when he left. Though he looked like he had his life together, though he was following all the rules, the older son was just as lost to the father as the younger son. You see, what Jesus is showing us here is that we can be good people. We can even be morally upstanding, beloved members of our community. We can go to church every week. We can be the good religious person and still be lost to God. Like the Pharisees, heaping up commands to try to be good, but having their hearts far from God. Or like Luther, following the religious rules to the letter and still despising the Lord in his heart. This is an easy temptation for us religious folk. We think we deserve God's blessing because we followed the rules. Turn God into a vending machine. Rules in, blessings out. And yet we're still lost to God. Being lost to God, what we might call in Christianese sinfulness, it's not merely breaking a list of commandments. Sinfulness is to want what God has, yet without God. To want what God has without having God. To desire to be the God of your own life, apart and in disregard to the God who created you. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden. They were tempted to become like God, yet apart from God. And so they fell. Like the younger son, we try to be the God of our own lives when we think and we act like God's standard has no bearing on our lives. We will live the way that we want to live, when we want to live it. And we disregard the one who has ordered all things for good. But like the older son, we try to be the God of our own lives when we take the rules and we use rule following to try and leverage blessing, to deserve favor from God. This is what the two brothers in the parable shared. They both wanted their father's things, yet they did not want their father. We want what our heavenly father gives, yet without our father in heaven. So we have to ask ourselves, especially us who find ourselves in this room week to week to week, do I just want God's benefits apart from God? Am I being a religious person just because I want to go to heaven and not go to hell? Am I being good just so that I can get something out of God? Do I really, at the end of the day, just want to be the God of my own life. If we can honestly answer, we will begin to know where we stand. The good news is, this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. For the parable of the two lost sons also has a father full of surprises. Even after the younger son had wished him dead and squandered everything on disreputable living, the father still ran to him with arms wide and welcomed him back as his son in full. And even as the older son refused to go into the feast and even scorned him to his face, the father beckoned him back openly, saying, "You are always with me. All that is mine is yours." Even before they wanted him, the father gave himself to his sons. Friends, this is the surprising message of the gospel. That even while we scorned him and wished to be the gods of our own lives, our heavenly Father still desired to give himself to us. God desires to say to each one of us, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." And just as the father in the parable opened his arms wide to receive his son, so God in Jesus Christ opened his arms wide upon the cross so that we would come in. In his death, Jesus freed us from sin and death, even death by our own rule following. And in his resurrection, Christ gave us his righteousness and access to the Father so that we would always be with him. And all that is his would be ours. And so now God prepares a lavish feast in his kingdom where both the good and the bad, the lost and the found are gathered in, accepted, redeemed. Redeemed not by rule following, but by sheer grace. By sheer grace. This is the truth that changed everything for Martin Luther. This was the turning point for him, that in Christ God would give us everything, even and especially himself, that all which would make us righteous before God was not something we needed to achieve, but is given as a free gift through faith. That the righteous God accepted him not for what he could do, but for what Christ has already done. Luther wrote, "Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open doors." The same Jesus, the same one who did it all for us, we who were lost, the same Jesus is calling us now. He says, "Come home. Come home. All of you who are weary, come home." May you this day answer the call of the surprising God and so enter the feast that the Father has prepared. Glory be to his name. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you open your arms to receive us, we who were lost, and you gather us into that abundant feast in your kingdom. Grant that we, who were once dead but made alive by your Spirit, may extend our arms in gospel welcome to the least and the lost in our community and in the world. Hear us also as we pray for the church and for the world, all according to their need. Heavenly Father, you created all things in beauty and sustain all things by your sovereign will. Bless the peoples of the earth that we would recognize our shared value and humanity and so live in peace with one another. Lord, we pray for those this day who are affected by the earthquake in Thailand. We pray, bless those who mourn, heal those who are hurting, and send your helpers to be of aid in this hour of need. Lord, we pray for our state, for our governor, for our General Assembly, and for all public officials. Help them to govern wisely and work for the common good of all people, seeking to serve and not simply be served. This day, O God, we also lift up before you judges, lawyers, court clerks, and all who deal in the law. We pray that you would give them clarity and wisdom, honesty and a spirit of truthfulness, so that in all things justice may be complete and goodness abound. Lord Jesus, you bore the cross for our sake, and you rose victorious to bring God's kingdom into our weary world. Grant that we, those redeemed by your shed blood, would continuously proclaim your good news in word and deed and seek fresh ways to show gospel hospitality. Especially, O God, we pray for the church in Burkina Faso. We pray that you would prosper their efforts in spreading the gospel. And we pray especially for urban ministries, that they may become hubs for your gospel going across that entire nation. We pray also this day for organizations across the world uniting congregations in global witness. Thinking, Lord, especially of the World Council of Churches for the Lausanne movement, we pray that you would give them imagination, intelligence, and love as they seek to unite and be a presence for Christ across the world. Lord, we also lift before you this church, which you have called Hebron. And we pray that you would bless and sanctify our work and ministry together. Give us clarity for the future and vision for where you are leading us to go, who you are leading us to serve, and what the legacy of our church will be, not for our sake and not for popularity or privilege or relevance, but for your glory, for your kingdom, and for the salvation of your people. Holy Spirit, you bring new life where there is death. You show forth truth where there is falsehood. Bless all those who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit. Give them peace, comfort, and healing in these days. And especially lift before you those people and circumstances that we name in the quiet of our hearts. O Blessed Trinity, we lift to you these our prayers, trusting in your grace and praying as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Christ calls us to bear our crosses and to follow him. And so as we collect our offering, take this moment to rededicate your life to him and to the work of the gospel in the world.
Thank you.
God of every blessing, of loving and tender care, you are the font of all goodness and of every gift that we share. And as we look to you, who in Christ redeemed us by your blood, all we can say is take our lives and consecrate them for you. And so we give these gifts as a token of our thanks and praise, and a sign that we are yours. And so sanctify these gifts, that we may be good stewards of them for the proclamation of the gospel, for the building up of your kingdom, and for the glory of your name. All this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Christ opened wide his arms to receive us, to find us, and to bring us home. And now he calls to you and me, come home, lay it all down, and find your rest in me. May you heed this call today and go on your way rejoicing. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.